Hear now these words that Mark has for us in his gospel, beginning with the first verse in chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. May God's blessings be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray now in these moments that we share together, that your Spirit might fall upon us and comfort each and every one of us, that we might receive rest from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Anybody ever broken an arm or a hand, a leg or a finger? Someone's got a new cast on just this week. Decided to, wreck on your bike. But the bike's okay, but you're in a cast. Anyone else? I haven't had that happen yet. Then those of you that maybe have broken an arm or a finger or a hand know how hard it is suddenly to do even the simplest tasks. Are you right or left-handed? Right-handed, okay. So then it's not too hard to write your name. Okay. Have you ever tried to tie your shoe one-handed? Or open a jar with one hand? Or fold a shirt with one hand? Guys, have you ever tried to do that with two hands? Thought I'd sneak that one in for you ladies. Things that we're used to doing with two hands become extremely difficult and slow and cumbersome and taking all of our concentration when we're down to one hand. And even then, the results might be a little sloppy or embarrassing. Some tasks take two. Two hands, two people, two wills, two hearts. Did you find out why about the broken heart? Okay. Fritz said he broke a heart in the past, and Diane was going, "What? What do I need to know about you?" But you said it was your mother's heart, right? Where is it? Oh, it went home. All right. Well, you can tell him we thought about him at second service. Two hands, two people, two wills, two hearts. One simply isn't always enough to get the job done. Now, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus sends his disciples after a young colt that he's going to be riding into Jerusalem, and he sends them out in a team to get the work done. Just as when Jesus had sent his disciples out to preach and to heal, to proclaim the good news, he sent them out two by two. Jesus continues to keep his disciples operating in pairs. But do you think that these two particular disciples, chosen for this latest duty, looked forward to this mission with the same sort of anticipation that they had enjoyed when they were sent out in pairs to travel around the countryside of Galilee? Not on your life. Instead of miraculous healings and teachings and preaching, they've now been appointed by Jesus as horse thieves for the Messiah. A young colt was valuable in those days. As a pack animal, it even offered the means of a livelihood. Aside from a pack animal, it could offer transportation for individuals and produce a certain amount of income for the family. And so, walking into a large city and going up and untying, well, dealing with someone else's property just hardly sounded like a mission for the sake of the Messiah. But Jesus makes this impossible sounding mission probable by anticipating every question, every fuss, every dilemma that the disciples may encounter. First, Jesus sends them out in a team of two so that they might offer one another strength and companionship along the way. As team members, they could take turns feeling confident or scared, leading or following, doubting or believing. As two, they present a more credible picture to those who might be questioning them about untying the colt and taking it away. One person sneaking up to untie a colt would surely be a thief. But two men carrying on a conversation and confidently waltzing up and untying a colt, well, that might be an arranged mission. When the bystanders ask the two disciples exactly what they are doing, just as Jesus has predicted they would, the disciples are not only prepared with the answer that Jesus gave them, but now they can each verify the other's story. A strange story sounds a little less odd when you've got two individuals that can, well, collaborate their story. A few summers ago, when Tom Cruise offered viewers a new A Mission Impossible story, moviegoers flocked to see it. Yes, it was full of in-your-face special effects, nail-biting cliffhangers, non-stop action, but for those who remember the old 1960s Mission Impossible show, something was not quite right. The jazzy theme music was back, but something was missing. And actually, the fatal mistake of the movie was that something, someone rather, was there. A big name, a big star, Tom Cruise. You see, you may remember that the strength of the old Mission Impossible was that every story, every mission was a team effort. No one was the runaway star of the show. the complex schemes they cooked up to fulfill their impossible missions were totally dependent upon the performance of each and every other team. Now, some of those team members did have more glamorous parts in particular shows than other team members, but at the end of the successful mission, it was the team that had pulled it off. The final take in each show was always of all the team members coming back together and acknowledging that it was only because of the team effort that the impossible had indeed been made possible. You see, Jesus Christ calls all of us as his Christians to join him in an impossible mission force, to be prepared to be offered some pretty crazy sounding assignments. Your mission and mine, should we choose to accept it, just may lead us into some strange situations. We may not find ourselves being horse thieves for Jesus, but chances are we'll find ourselves doing and saying some things that we would just never dream of being possible. Being on Jesus Christ's mission impossible force may involve glamour duty. Oh, being involved with the public and maybe teaching or preaching or healing, or it may involve that behind the scene work where nobody ever sees what's being done. But sometimes accomplishing an impossible mission, well, it might even take a little bit of comedy. I mean, imagine the sight of a grown man riding on a small donkey, a colt, in a ragtag procession of people hailing him on a beast of burden as a king. Sometimes that impossible mission is accomplished only through tragedy. Yes, like even death on a cross. If there were any doubt that God can make use of anything and any situation to accomplish Almighty God's intentions for the world, all we really need to do is take a look around us this morning. I mean, seriously, take a look. Who you're sitting beside, who's in front of you, who's behind you. It's one thing for today's gospel text to declare that something as dusty and humble as a colt could be put into service for Almighty God. But what's really astounding is that God has purposefully chosen the struggling, sinful, sometimes stiff-necked, stuck on tradition, slow to change, uncertain about the future, comfortable in the pew, church, to be the impossible mission force for proclaiming the good news of the gospel to the world. Are we ready to be a part of the greatest team effort ever put forth into the world? We can stay true to our mission and accomplish all that God intends if we are willing to do two things. Number one, remember that we're part of a team. And secondly, in times of doubt and despair, recite the reassuring chant that Jesus sends us out on our mission with. The Lord needs me to do this, and the Lord Jesus Christ is with me. God's presence is upon us, and may it continue to be as we go forth out into the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, you call and you send each and every one of us. Sometimes in pairs and sometimes as a whole congregation. And we pray that faithfully we might proclaim you as the King. Continue, O God, to work your wonders within us. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.